Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Chester Elton's here, too, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. We're glad Chester's back. I know you are. More than 10 years he's been sharing his wisdom and excitement and energy with us, and he's the co-founder of The Culture Works, but we knew him even before that. And he's a co-author, along with Adrian Gostick, of a number of books. All the books you need to have or know about on getting your teams engaged and motivated. Their new book is called What Motivates Me, Put Your Passion to Work, and he's our good friend Chester Elton. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure.
Good to have you back. You know, motivating people has always been an interesting assignment for any manager, leader, CEO, because you've got so many different personalities in your organization. But now, today, here in this, you know, well into the second decade of the 21st century, we not only have all these different personalities, we got more generations with more backgrounds and more generational motivations than ever in my lifetime, Chester.
Absolutely. You know, you got millennials, you got Gen X, Gen Y, you got baby boomers, and yep, Everybody in between. Throw into that as well the diversity in culture. You know, people travel a lot more than they did 10 or 15 years ago. You've got people in your organization from Asia, from Africa.
You got people from Brooklyn working with people from New Jersey. It didn't get any wackier than that, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, this idea of motivation for us became very interesting. As you know, we did a lot of work around culture, what makes a great and productive and engaging culture. And it came down to, have you got the right people in the right places with the right motivation? So we started to take a look at that. And you know what was fascinating, Jim, is motivation over the years, the thing that frustrated us about it was it becomes sort of oversimplified. You know, you'd say, well, these three things motivate everybody, or this one thing never motivates anybody, or here's the Ten Commandments. And to your point, we just looked at the workplace and said, look, it's just more complicated than that. You know, people are more complicated than just one or two or three things. And, you know, you've mentored a lot of people. You've been a teacher and a coach. And, you know, when we put these teams together, you're crazy if you treat everybody the same way or make the assumption that everybody is motivated the same way as you are.
You can't be a one-trick pony motivator leader when you're managing a team.
Exactly. And so we really delved into it, and we hired these really smart guys from Talent Smart out in California. They wrote the book Emotional Intelligence 2.0, mm-hmm, how you measure your emotional intelligence.
Yep.
And we asked them, we said, is there a more scientific way to approach this? And could you put together a tool for us where we could test people and say, could we determine what your motivators at work are? How many motivators are there? And how will this help us be better leaders and build better workplaces? And I'll tell you, the process was really fascinating. What we found, Jim, and this is kind of interesting, is that we delved into 850,000 surveys and research that we'd done over the last 10 years, and we determined with any significance there were basically 23 motivators at work. And a lot of them are intuitive. You know, having fun, family is important to you, money, achievement, reward, and
those,
so on.
Those are motivating factors.
Factors, right. And so while that was a little complicated and a little unwieldy, we found that your top seven motivators were very strong. The next seven motivators were moderate, and the next nine were fairly neutral. But they clustered around what you talked about in your intro, these motivating identities. And that's where it became really interesting really fast, that there were basically five different identities at work. And once you get it down to about five, now as a leader you can start to identify and you can start to engage and motivate. It was a fascinating process.
Well, and when you can, you know, this has been done with the personality model too, as you
exactly
know. The five-factor personality. And it is handy, folks. It is handy to be able to, especially when you're managing a team, things are moving fast, and Chester, especially when you're managing a small business.
Right.
You know, when something pops up and you've got an issue or you're trying to accomplish something with your team, it is handy to be able to say, okay, Sue is an achiever, and Sarah is a caregiver, and Bob is reward driven. Or what? And I'm just saying, if in any given time you can think, okay, this is the antenna that this person typically has up at all times.
Right. Well, see, what was fascinating is we looked at those personality profiles, and that's who you are, and that's pretty stable, right? By the time you're 6, 7 years old, your personality's pretty much set.
Right.
And then we looked at Strength Finders, which is a wonderful movement. That's what I'm really good at. And again, fairly stable. Well, you overlay in the Venn diagram motivators. Motivators is what I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand who the person is and what they're really good at, and then you overlay what they're passionate about, you've got a really interesting opportunity to be really productive. Now, the one variable there is that motivators do change. And good leaders are sensitive to that. You know what motivators do?
Pardon me, Chester, but this is what's important about note about this. Your personality won't change.
Right.
Other
right.
things about you won't change. But
right.
your background, your gender, all those things won't change. But the motivators, this is where it gets tricky, isn't it?
Right. Because what motivated you when you were in university is different than when you got married, than when you have kids. And you think about those life events that realign your motivators. You know, you have health problems. A child is born. One of your parents passes away.
Mm-hmm.
So what became really interesting is we got down to these five identities. And you mentioned a couple of them. You know, in alphabetical order, we always, you know, there are achievers. There are builders. There are caregivers. Those that are reward-driven and those that are thinkers. And they are motivated and engaged in much different ways. And mm-hmm. and we gave them titles that were fairly intuitive. You know, when you think about caregivers.
And are these, and how do you arrive at these levels? Is it the stage in your life? Is it heavier influenced by one personality over another? Is it generational? What do you think? What is it?
No, it has
what
to do with...
What puts you into this, into one of these?
Right. It depends where your motivators cluster. For example, caregivers, motivators tend to be family, fun, and empathy.
Right.
So of those 23 motivators, if those three were very strong for you, then chances are you're going to be a caregiver.
Right.
You know, if you're into developing others, if friendship is really important to you, purpose, service, social responsibility, and teamwork,
mm-hmm.
you're more likely to be a builder,
mm-hmm.
right? Thinkers tend to want a lot of autonomy and creativity.
Now, the key here, folks, is by reading the book like this, What Motivates Me by Adrian and Chester, you'll understand what's going on when you see people behaving as they do in front of you. It will help you make better management decisions and keep your people more engaged, more motivated, and you won't have to go find a replacement as soon. Quick break, right back with Chester Elton. The book is coming.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.